never filtered, always fun.
Brendan will sometimes give a fist pump after a big goal. You don't even move. How is that possible?
Did you ever watch a duck on water? You don't see anything, and the feet are going like hell. So that's what you're saying.
Okay, so the heartbeat is racing, is what you're saying.
I have no idea.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
At Mike Zigamanis, one of our vegan listeners, just posted a pic of apparently the finish line at the 10K yesterday.
He's a vegan?
That would be John Daly getting doused with champagne.
Does he mean to say that that's you?
Probably you. You're his boy, right?
Well, yeah, we're buddies. I'm not a vegan, though.
You were for a day, or like an hour or something, weren't you?
I was for a day.
Didn't go very well.
How many vegans in the NHL?
I think a lot of guys are very health conscious and have headed down different routes. I don't know. I mean, George LaRocque says he's a vegan, but he's about 400 pounds.
He's huge.
He does some cheese pizzas for a vegan.
I guess you could still eat cheese pizza and
absolutely.
Stuff. Well, no, you couldn't because cheese, if you're a vegan, you can't eat any of that stuff.
Are there overweight vegans?
Then he's eating a barrel of walnuts or whatever he eats at night.
That's probably the most ignorant question we've ever asked, but we're all in the same. I couldn't even answer that.
I'm not trying to be ignorant about it. I was just saying, I'm sure there are.
Is there what?
Obese vegans. Is that like an oxymoron? Is it possible?
I don't know if it's possible because my understanding, people that are vegans eat.
Well, what do they do?
So
lie
healthy.
On their grass and eat their lawn all night? Or what the hell
know.
Are they doing?
Now we're just being ignorant. I don't know.
We all play. We're all dealing with the same assumption. If you're a vegan, you really are eating clean. You're eating well. You're eating right. I always figured veganism comes with a lifestyle as well. Like you run a 10K in your sleep.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, are there lazy vegans? There's
maybe.
Such a thing? I don't know.
It could be, obviously. I'm sure there is. I think we're just pissing people off, but
maybe this is what we should aspire to be in the future.
Vegans? No, I don't want to be a vegan.
Then you can't eat the Swiss Chalet they brought in. They brought in the crispy chicken that's coming out soon.
Apparently that is, I mean, that's going to be a home run.
The mac and cheese, too.
I put corn in it. It was outstanding.
You put corn in your mac and cheese?
That mac and cheese over there, there was a side of corn, so I just dumped the corn into the mac and cheese, mixed it up, and I ate the whole damn thing.
That's illegal.
That was a veteran move. That's a veteran move. That should be a pull.
You can't do that, man. You can't mix and match mac and cheese with corn.
I have an idea.
Thank you.
What are you talking about?
Eckersley hit this guy.
I have an idea.
You don't like that?
No.
Why?
Because I thought we both agreed we separate food. We are food. We're on board with food segregation.
I don't mind that, but we were pressed for time. We were up in like 4 minutes, so I had to go after it.
I'll bet you Eddie Olchuk would suggest that that is a gutless move.
No way. Eddie would be on my side.
Let's bring him in here. Former Leaf, longtime NHLer, NBC NHL analyst, but more importantly,
horse racing
contributor.
Yes.
Eddie Olchuk. Eddie, how do you feel about mac and cheese mixed with corn?
Mac and cheese mixed with corn. Okay. I would say I'm more of a rice and peas guy than maybe a cheese and corn guy. So
okay.
I'd rather go white rice and some peas. That's what I would do.
There you go.
I like that. you probably weren't expecting that question out of the gate,
No, absolutely. That's probably the one question I probably wasn't prepared for. But when it comes to food, and if you ask Ray Ferraro, my former teammate, he'd say, quoting Ray, you go, well, Edno's a food guy. So he's a food guy. He's a chocolate cake guy and he's a food guy. But I was not prepared for the mac and cheese and corn question, that's for sure.
Yeah, Ray's so high and mighty with everyone else, right? Like Ray just takes runs at everyone else's weight. Yeah. I mean, the guy.
Hey, when he gets in between the benches, just tell him to stand up every once in a while. Okay?
That's right. We chirp him.
All
on
the
daily
coaches
basis.
Used to do that all the time, or they'll take shots. They'll put like a milk crate in between the boxes for him to stand on, and that he hates it. He gets so rattled.
As he should. Well, we love your work, obviously, on NBC with hockey, but I got to be honest. You've brought the Kentucky Derby coverage to a completely new level, and I love how you're like the handicapper, essentially. How did you get involved with all of that?
Oh, that's very kind of you, Brian. I mean, long story short, back in 94, I was a very small part of the team that won the Stanley Cup with the Rangers in 94. And if everybody remembers, the following fall, we had a work stoppage. And I had brought the Stanley Cup. I had my day and a half with the Stanley Cup. I had brought it to the Meadowlands Racetrack on a Friday night. And on July 1st of 94, we celebrated at Belmont Park. And I got a chance to take a picture with Gopher Gin, the Kentucky Derby winner that year. And it's one of my most cherished pictures that I have at home. So in saying that, so a couple of months later, we had a work stoppage in the NHL. And the people at the Meadowlands Racetrack in East Rutherford, New Jersey, were big Ranger fans. They said, well, hey, look, you know, you're not working. Why don't you come to the racetrack? You love the handicap. We'll pay $800 a night, and you can handicap, and you can be a part of our in-house coverage and be a part of the racing team at the Meadowlands for the Thoroughbred. So that's how I got my introduction into TV, was doing horse racing the year we had an NHL work stoppage back in 94, and then turn the clock ahead some 20-plus years later. My boss, Sam Floyd at NBC, gave me an opportunity to get on the horse racing coverage. And one day I hit it out of the park with a couple of long shots, and the rest is history. So it's a great passion of mine. I mean, I really got involved in horse racing when I was with the Leafs back in the late 80s with my former line mate and horse owning partner, Gary Lehman. We had a bunch of horses out at Woodbine, and it's always been a passion of mine. And I'm just really thrilled to be a part of it. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. A lot of preparation, but when you have a passion for something like that, it's kind of the labor of love, so to speak. So it's great to be a part of it, and always love trying to pick winners for the public. And I actually had somebody the other day, I had somebody come up to me. I gave out one of the picks during our pre-card for the pre-card derby earlier in the day, and the guy came up and showed me. He says, "I played your picks in this race," and he came up and showed me. And the guy had an ice cold trifecta for $1,000. 257, and it came back like $48. So the guy got $48,000 for playing $1,000 straight trifecta.
Wow!
So I was pretty happy, and I said, "Hey, don't be afraid to take care of the guy that gave you the numbers there."
No kidding, man. You're like an agent. You should get 10%.
But it's good. But I appreciate the kind words, Brian. I really love it. And I'll say this: I feel like I fight the same battles in hockey here in the States, anyways, that I do as horse racing, because those are my two greatest loves. Is that, and I think what's happened here is there's been a lot of cross promotion, right? And that's something that's important on all walks of, media, social media, now TV, is that, be able to try to bring hockey fans over to horse racing and horse racing fans over to hockey. And, I think it's just great. I think it's just a great opportunity to be able to do both and have the ability to be able to do both. But more importantly, have the opportunity to be able to try to, teach and sell both games. And, it's entertainment at the end of the day. So it's a great experience. And, we'll get ready for the Preakness coming up in less than 2 weeks.
Just don't pull a Mrs. Doubtfire and call Alex Ovechkin like the 8 horse or something and just start mixing things up, Eddie.
Hey, old dog, let me just say this. If the eighth thoroughbred for the Capitals has a game tonight, we're going to have to worry about game 7 in Washington on Wednesday night, that's for sure.
How surprised were you that the 87 horse for Pittsburgh was playing in game 5?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, I heard he was taking warm-ups. And again, I mean, if you can picture this down here, obviously the derby going on, and we're leading into the hockey game on Saturday night. And when I had heard that, I think it was Mike Tirico or Bob Costas had mentioned that Sidney Crosby was taking warm-ups, or maybe even was Doc Emmerich when he did his little talk back to set up the hockey game, and said that Sid was in taking warm-ups. You guys know, Noodles, this, O-Dog. Yeah. He's taking warm-ups, he's playing, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's that. You just kind of had a feeling that he was gonna play. And I had a chance to talk to Sid this morning. He said he felt fine. I mean, he had a dominant night in the faceoff dot, and then both getting Sherry and Crosby back was obviously big. They lost the game, but hey, they're in a great spot, and all they got to do is win a game 6 at home here, and they're in the conference final.
We're chatting with Eddie Olchuk. He's in Pittsburgh ahead of game 6, calling it for NBC.
Okay, so you do color, I do color. I have a question for you. Do you prep more for the horses than you do for the NHL games?
the shows are much different, and with the 3-man booth on the hockey show, there's probably a little less prep
because of Doc and Pierre.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of it.
One more than the
right?
other.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. So I would say, honestly, I mean, I just think because of the type of show that we're doing for horse racing, I think the prep work is probably a lot deeper. That prep work for the Derby, Noodle, starts probably 90 days out. 120 days out.
Wow.
Because of the stories and, you know, knowing, you know, the backgrounds of all the horses, all the, you know, the trainers and everything else. And by the way, for people who might not know, the last 2 years of the Kentucky Derby winner, there's been a hockey, an NHL tie-in, right? Last year was Nyquist. Paul Redham, the owner of Nyquist, is a Windsor native, a big Detroit Red Wing fan, so he named the horse after Gustav Nyquist. He wins the Derby. This year, Vinny Viola, the owner of the Florida Panthers, part owner of Always Dreaming, he wins the Kentucky Derby. So I guess the key is to find out who in L has a tie to the NHL next year.
No
it's
kidding.
The Kentucky Derby, and head to the windows, right? Get your RRSPs and your 401ks and empty them out and get ready to get an NHL tie next year. But I would say probably just for the aspect of the show that we have on Noodles on the Derby, I would say the prep work is probably much deeper for the Kentucky Derby than any hockey game that I would do.
Was there a horse named Quenville and a horse named Deneen at the Derby this year that looked like humans?
To be honest with you, the only former Hartford Whaler that I saw was Ulfie Samuelson that I ran into. So that was the only one I saw. Oh, dog, it was Ulfie was down there.
Oh, I'll bet you Quenville was somewhere. I mean, we interview him a couple times a year, Eddie, and
we have
to bring up the Derby because it's like become a part of the show now, right?
Yeah.
Whenever he's on, he's waiting for us to get.
Yeah, right.
You know, get the Blackhawk stuff out of the way.
I don't want to talk about the power. I don't want to talk about the power play. I don't want to talk about, you know, the 1-2-2 we're facing. Is like, okay, I want to let you know who I like in a superfecta.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Like you can feel it through the phone. He's so excited to talk about the Derby, and he always makes sure he says, "Listen, I'd rather not be able to make it because I'd rather be playing."
Exactly.
But we know that they weren't playing, so I would guess Quenville was probably there with Eddie Olchuk. The one thing I would say about horse racing, I mean, it's so connected, clearly, to gambling and the odds,
and you
look at these other sports, and we know the NFL is where it's at. I've got a passion for this. I'm a believer in legalizing sports gambling, regulating it. And I think the NHL could make a lot of extra money if they actually got behind it. Yeah. But the sport is difficult to handicap. It's difficult to gamble on, right? Like can hockey ever get to a point where the NFL and horse racing is just based on the way the scoring works out?
Well, I think that's fair, Bri. But, I mean, for me, I look at it and go, look, if you eliminated, and this is just my opinion, a guy that grew up in Chicago and follows football, you know, relatively closely. If you took away the gambling aspect of the NFL, totals and point spreads, the numbers would not be where they are for television. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but I think that the numbers would take a huge hit. And you look at, you know, the sports channels that cater to the gambling aspect. When they're running the scroll and they're saying, you know, the Patriots are at New Orleans and the New Orleans is, you know, +5 at home, when they're, you know, encouraging and highlighting the gambling aspect, you know exactly where they're going. Now, I'm saying that NFL is King Kong, I get it, but I think, you know, look, for any league, I think, you know, look at the sponsorships that's gone on with the fantasy sports and all that type of stuff. That's gambling. That's not anything other than gambling when you're into fantasy sports. And look, that maybe that's the new world that we live in. So I'm sure the National Hockey League looks at all types of things. And, you know, I know they got the pro line up there in Canada. And, you know, there's all different ways to look at it. But I think anything that helps drive the business to help build a, you know, a larger demographic at all ages is good for everybody. It's good for the game. It's good for the league. You know, it's good for the cities and the venues. And it's another way to get people involved. And, again, I mean, you got to be smart when you're investing into – you know, the games, but, you know, I mean, hockey one night, I mean, you just, like, last night, like, watching the Edmonton game, I was sitting on my couch watching at home last night, watching that game, and I was like, I played against the Oilers back in the heyday, like, in 85. My rookie year was 84-85, and I thought I was like, geez, I remember getting hammered by the Oilers in the conference finals 10-5 and 12-3 in back-to-back games. I was looking for 99, 7, you know, 77, whatever number Coffey was, Curry 17, Messier 11. I mean, it was just incredible watching that game. And I don't think anybody, I don't care if you had invested in that game or not, I don't think anybody would ever saw the Oilers coming out and scoring, you know, whatever they did in the first period, five goals in the first period. So hockey is a little different, I think, than other sports, but it's certainly a way to, you know, generate revenue and get that exposure out there. So I think you have to explore, you know, anything under the umbrella.
I'm with you on that. Game six tonight, Pens Caps on NBC. We're looking forward to it. Enjoy it. We always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for doing this, Eddie.
Okay, guys, talk to you soon. 12 days until the Preakness, by the way. We'll talk to you.
Can't wait. There he is, Eddie Olchuk. That guy is a legend, man.
Yeah.
Man, does he know the ponies.
He does.
Did you hear him ripping off the, like, the stats and the little tells? And
they couldn't wait to throw to him. They couldn't throw to him enough on Saturday, man. Every 5 minutes it was like, all right, let's go down to Eddie, and he'll tell us about the horse in the 17. Like, you know, and he's running down like his mother was a mutter. His mother was a mutter.
Kramer.
Like, loves the muck. Details, loves the muck. This is going to be great. Like, he was doing prep 120 days out of the Kentucky Derby.
We got to get that sound of Kramer.
Yes, mutter was a mutter. And you can tell he can't wait for the Preakness in 12 days.
He's so horny for the Preakness.
He's so fired up. He just wants this NHL stuff. Like, let's get it over with. Let's do our thing.
It's awesome.
Man, is he a legend. Eddie Olchuk. We haven't caught up with him in a long, long time. And we appreciate him taking time for us.
What did you think? Like, do you get the sense that he loves the horses, the knowledge, or does he love gambling?
I think he likes it all. I think he likes the action.
Started with a little gambling and then preached into, really grown into, like, a career if he wanted to.
You talk to horse people, quote unquote, they are incredibly passionate.
Because no kidding.
It's one of those, you get attached to the horses, right? Like, if you're a horse owner, it's a pet.
Yeah.
But you know, you grow up with it, and then it's competing on your behalf, and it's a very lucrative business if you're on the right side of it.
I was a owner of a horse.
Did you make money off that horse?
We did. We made very good. It was, I'd have to look at the whole, this horse was like 2 years old, and I think one of these big derbies or whatever, I think it was like the Kentucky Derby, I'll dig up the name. Strutty was in on it.
If you had a Kentucky Derby winner, you must have made a fortune. It was worth
$25 million, this horse. We owned like one-third of a share, and there were 300 shares. Like, it was, we had a small investment group that bought into it.
Right.
And the horse got sick or something after 2 years, so it just studded. So every time it studded, it paid like $50,000
to stud.
Well, that's
the thing. Like, you get a horse that wins the Triple Crown or something, you put that to stud, you'll make like tens of millions of dollars.
That's what it was doing. So we made our money back, and then it was paying, and then it died. So the insurance paid us our money out, and we moved on.
Wow.
We owned two horses. It was like a weird investment I got into.
See, that would be weird.
I got to find the name, because I sent a note to my buddy and asked what the name of the horse was, and then I Googled it, and it was a pretty famous horse. It was like Seattle Slough's, like, spawn, one of the spawns.
I was going to say, tell me you own, like, a piece of Secretariat or
no,
something.
No, it was something like that, but it was one of those famous horses, like a spawn farther down. And we had a friend who owned a huge farm down in Kentucky. So there was an AHL team in Kentucky. So a lot of those guys played down there.
Right.
They got to be friends with, like, farmers and stuff. And
I guess you got to bet on your own horse.
My horse never, ever, by the time we bought into it, it was not racing anymore. It was just studding.
Right. But I'm saying, like, if you've got a horse, there was a horse, State of Honor was the horse's name, going off at 54-1 odds. And halfway through the race, it was in first place.
No way.
And it ended up falling right off a cliff. It ended, like, second last or something. Like, he came out of the gun like we did, like, just sprinting early, and then we faded on the 10K. But imagine you sprinkle down some money on 54-1, and your pony's out in front halfway through the race.
Crazy.
You're going crazy. All right, we got to get Dirk Hayhurst in here. Russell Martin has been placed on the DL. So Martin, Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Happ, Sanchez, five starters, all in the DL ahead of the big game tonight with Edwin returning. A bunch of fans were down there an hour ago waiting for him to come out and just talk to the media. I think it'll be a great crowd tonight. He's going to get a standing ovation. I'm quite curious to see how Marcus Stroman pitches against him and what the reaction is both ways. So we'll tee that up with Dirk. Get back into game six tonight, Pens Caps. Continue to recap our 10K experience. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Don't forget, the O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament September 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack. Wonder if Eddie Olchuk will be up there.
That'd be awesome.
That was awesome. Eddie O is such a fan of the ponies.
He's a beauty.
He is fit for this show. We love having him on. Visit the website tsn1050.ca to make a donation. On behalf of Team Overdrive, for every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. So we finished the 10K yesterday, and now the next thing we're prepping for is the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament, September 23rd. And we're looking for teammates. So go to tsn1050.ca. Donate as much as you can, but if you donate $20+, you have a chance to be on the team. We've got the U.S. Open trophy in here, in studio. It's been doing the rounds. And
yeah, pretty cool.
You weaseled your way into a picture before the show. Where'd you go to get that?
Wasn't it on the SC set?
Oh, yeah, just on the SC set. I wheeled down there, and I wanted to pick the trophy up, and I was kindly told, do not touch it.
It's kind of like the Stanley Cup, right, if you didn't win it.
You can touch the Stanley Cup. No, like any fan.
I've never touched it in my life. I've been to several Stanley Cup parties for my friends. I just never go near it. Like, why? Steph touched it.
I would. I've said this
before.
You can
grab the Stanley Cup. There's only one thing you can't do with it, which I don't know how you're going to prevent this.
What? Eat out of it?
You can't put it over your head. You can't lift the cup over your head if you've never won it. And then months later, I saw Big Poppy in the locker room. He had the cup. He was raising it like Gretzky.
Well, no kidding. It depends on who you are, right?
No kidding. So if you're some stiff like me, don't put it over your head. Ultimately, what are they going to do if you do it? Like,
Bieber.
You've got the guard back there. What's he going to do if I grab this thing and put
it
over my head?
He'll come in here.
Scissor kick you.
Yeah.
He's going to come right through the glass.
He'll judo chop you right in the neck.
You just do it out of respect. You don't touch it out of respect.
We're not going to touch it. We don't want to touch it. I kind of want to touch it. I wouldn't mind drinking a pint.
Well, I'd like to drink
it.
The interesting part is the stories behind that. The reason why the Stanley Cup has a keeper is because of all the parties. Like, it's known. In Edmonton, Messier and the crew used to take it to a strip club in Edmonton, or in St. Albert, where I grew up, called the Bruin Inn. And the strippers would have it on stage.
How gritty would a peeler in Edmonton be in the 80s?
In St. Albert, in the Bruin Inn, was very gritty. The Bruin Inn was, if you actually Google Perron Street, P-E-R-R-O-N. That's one of the old, I think it's the oldest street in Alberta. And it used to have this little hotel called the Bruin Inn on the corner. And in there was a strip club.
It's like the main street in Deadwood.
Yeah, it was
probably
gritty.
Like the gold rush, the oil rush. Just the grittiest human beings on earth.
That's the type of stuff. Now the cup has a keeper because of the lunatics.
See, if I win, though, I don't want that keeper anywhere close to me.
Why?
But you hear stories about how, you know, the cup gets dented and all that kind of stuff. Like, I was reading this earlier, and the reason we have the U.S. trophy in here is in anticipation of the 117th U.S. Open held between June 15th and 18th. And, of course, you can see it all on TSN. But I guess there was a fire at Tam O'Shanter Clubhouse, not the dog track here in Toronto.
Right.
So there was a fire at the Tam O'Shanter Clubhouse. Back when the U.S. Open trophy, I guess, was just kind of first making the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1898, the U.S. Open winner was a guy by the name of Fred Hurd. And Hurd had a reputation as a heavy booze bag. So the USGA was so worried about letting him take the trophy home, they required him to put down a cash deposit because they thought he was going to pawn it off for drinking money.
Really?
Like, what if John Daly ever took this thing home? Like, what did Daly win? Did he win the U.S. Open?
PGA.
He won the PGA and the British.
Yeah. PGA at Crooked Stick, I believe, and the British at St. Andrews.
So Daly has had a time with that thing.
Well, I mean, Daly, though, if he ever won the U.S. Open, and it was like when he was really getting after it, I would think they might ask him to put some money down.
I think he's getting after it now more than ever.
Well, he won yesterday, so I guess he feels pretty good about himself and where his game's at.
Oh, it's his first win in a long time.
13 or 14 years. Celebrates with a champagne shower.
Nothing wrong with that.
So anyway, we'll tweet out picks. We're hanging out here with the U.S. Open trophy and thanks to the handler and everyone for bringing it in. A lot of people around SportsCenter taking picks.
Be cool.
All good. Dirk Ayerster will join us here in a moment. Big news today for the Jays outside of Edwin actually returning to Toronto is that Russell Martin is now on the DL.
So is this enough big picture for the organization to say, don't even think about freaking out, the outrage, because how are we? What were we supposed to do about all these injuries?
That's what I'm concerned about, as if it was the injuries.
Legit, I mean.
But not 2-11 out of the gate. 2-11, I don't care who you are. 2-11 is never acceptable, and it sets off your season down such a horrible path. But I'm with you. I think now it's going to get to the point where if they continue down this pace and win like 75 games, it's going to be, well, what did you want? Donaldson was on the DL, then Tulo, Martin.
I think what everybody wants in the organization when something like this happens is like a panic move. You get to be able to say, well, next year when we all come back healthy, because it's getting to a point where this might be a waste.
All right, let's bring in Dirk Ayerster, and this Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Martin now in the DL. Is this enough in terms of injuries to give them a pass on the season in terms of a potential excuse for what's happened here?
Is this a good enough excuse for them to be terrible and for us to be like, it's okay, you were just terrible. Look at all those like bodies broken in a heap over there in the corner. They should have been good, but they weren't. Instead, they're broken over there, so it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just go back, collect your massive, massive paychecks that most of us listening will never see in our lifetime. We expect nothing from you because you can stay healthy. It's fine. It's a mulligan. We'll see you again in 2018. We'll just try harder, right? Try harder to stay healthy. I'm sorry, guys, but that kind of narrative, like I can't get behind it. I would be more upset. Now, this is where logic and reality come in. I would be more upset with the Blue Jays if they had people to bring up that were any good. But they don't, because they went all in 2015 and 2016, and they sent out all these prospects that should have been knocking on the door right now, that should have been those guys that were up there saying, like, man, I'm upset that Tulo's hurt, but this young kid is phenomenal. Too bad he has to go back to AAA. But when his time comes, you don't have that option. So you can say, you could say, like, oh, everybody got hurt, but there's always next year when you're all healthy, and you're also a year older, and you also don't have any prospects to replace you when you inevitably get hurt again. So that's what bothers me about this season is I want to see those moves made. If they're going to get made, I want to see proactive moves made. And honestly, the Blue Jays have their hands tied. Really can't make any trades or moves now. No one's in the market. You got to wait to see how the season's going to shape out. But I want to see the Blue Jays more proactive about acquiring pieces that will fill in to be 2018 if you're going to play the injury excuse card.
Well, I think it's an interesting point you bring up because it really does accentuate what Anthopoulos did before he left, which I was on board with. I still am. I mean, they went to the ALCS 2 years in a row. This was a team for 20 years that did nothing. But it may actually give Shapiro and Atkins the out that they were looking for if this is what they, in fact, were looking for or hoping for potentially. Because now these injuries, what you can look at is the standings. They can point to the standings and say, look at where we are. You know, I don't care about the injuries. My point is we're 11-20. We're not good enough, and we don't have the kids coming up, so we really have to turn the page on this era and potentially go in a different direction. Could you see Shapiro and Atkins using these injuries and, as a result, the record to potentially blow things up and go in a different direction?
Last year turning out to be a great year for them was the best thing that could have happened for them because all these guys showed up. They didn't have prospects last year either. They didn't have them. They weren't there. And the team was still good. It still went deep into the postseason because at the beginning of last season, I know fans don't remember this because they have like the memory of like a normal fruit fly when it comes to criticizing organizations. But when he didn't go out and like make huge splashy acquisitions, talking about Shapiro, it was like, oh my gosh, it's like they want us to lose. It was like 2015 counted for nothing. Who are these monsters? How did they let them in our town? It was that kind of stuff, remember? And then the team went on and it was pretty good. But the underlying tone from management was, this isn't how we wanted to do it. We really felt like Anthopoulos gave away too much. We want to see sustainable growth within the minor league system, pumping out prospects like Cleveland is seeing. See, we did that. We want that to happen here. And we were like, no, no, no. Win now. That's all that matters. Well, you got your wish in 2015 and 2016. And now you see what happens when you neglect one side of an organization. You get this. look, the players at the top are still good. But good players at the top aren't going to be good every year, and they're not going to be healthy every year. And when that happens, you have to have reinforcements, which the Blue Jays do not have. So I think that you are getting what you want if what you wanted was to lose, which is I don't think that's what Shapiro wants. I don't think that's what any manager wants. I think what they want is a reason to initiate their plan. And if that comes a few years down the road because the guys at the top are still pretty good and you just don't need help from the minor leagues, so much the better, but it's not there. So they definitely will be playing that card of, well, we told you we're going to retool. Now we have all the reasons to do it, so get ready. It's going to be a bold new Blue Jays in 2018.
With Dirk Hayhurst, our Jays analyst here on Overdrive. Edwin back in town tonight. Marcus Stroman on the mound. I am looking forward to this. I'm curious to see how this is going to play out. If Edwin gets him, what the reaction will be. But more importantly, if Stroman K's him, which I think is potentially going to happen tonight.
You think he's going to give him the Stroman stare down?
I'm curious. I wouldn't put it past him. How do you see that playing out, Dirk?
I think both are going to get each other at some point. You know, the thing about like Stroman facing Edwin, I think that Stroman, I mean, just statistically speaking, I mean, Stroman's going to get him. It's just going to happen, whether it's a weak ground out or a strikeout or whatever. I think that the chance for a pitcher who's on his game to dominate someone who's cold like Edwin is right now, I think I'm in favor of Stroman on this. I'm worried that Stroman won't make it through five because there's going to be some kind of arm tightness issue that I still want to blame the World Baseball Classic for, just overuse from this kid too early, but whatever. Okay, whatever. Back to the original point here, which is I think Edwin is going to get got by a few guys, but I think he's going to get some guys as well. It's going to be an interesting series. He's going to get his choice pitch. I do predict a home run. I do see people kind of melancholy putting the parrot on their shoulder and saying, if only we would have put the money out there to keep Edwin, this season would be a complete and utter disaster. And I want to say, look, at this point, considering his stats, you would have a few extra home runs in there, but I still think the Blue Jays, even with the current Edwin Encarnacion on their roster, would still be pretty bad. Not the worst in baseball, but they would still be pretty bad.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's a part of Shapiro and Atkins that think they have been vindicated in a way because maybe they dodged the bullet, you know, avoiding giving him a monster deal if they feel like this organization is all of a sudden going in a different direction. But I'm glad you brought up the Stroman situation because I don't think a lot of people are mentioning that today. For obvious reasons, it is 100% about Edwin and his return and what it's going to be like and what he's doing. I think people have forgotten the last time Stroman was on the mound, he had to come out. He had to pull himself, and we talked about it extensively the next day where he said, you know, I don't need treatment. I don't need to be evaluated here. I'm all good. I'm going to move on. It's general arm tightness. I'm not worried. And we said at the time, like, is this guy pulling a Syndergaard here? Why wouldn't he get checked out? Why wouldn't the Jays step in and say, wait a minute, you're going for an MRI or something's got to give here? If something gets ugly tonight, if there is more tightness, if he has to come out of the game, how explosive will that storyline be postgame?
Well, the problem is if you're going to tell people it was nothing, it was, you know, I don't even need to be evaluated, then why did you come out of the game? I mean, what went wrong? Like, you know, was it like was the tightness correlated to the bad couple innings? I mean, like, you know, you got the mystery illness. Like, hitters usually get hurt when a Cy Young is on the mound. Funny how that happens, right? You know, what was it? What was the issue here, if there was one? And I honestly do think there was some tightness, which means one of two things. One, either he is being the Marcus Stroman we all know and love, which is indomitably positive, and even though it does hurt, I'm not going to tell you what it does. I refuse treatment. I'm going to go out there. I'm a competitor. Height doesn't measure heart, blah, 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 whatever I want to pitch. Or it's look at all the guys we already have on the DL. I mean, we've got the best baseball team in any hospital in the world right now. It's awesome. You know, we're beating everybody at the Medicare games. It's great. And George Poulos, the head trainer, is like, the last thing we need is another injury, so I'm taking no precaution here. And if he says even, like, he felt anything at all, like a sudden itch, I'm taking him out because I don't want another guy hurt, because then the season really is shot. I think this is kind of a bit of both. I think you got some overprotective Blue Jays management, and you've got a young guy who doesn't want to admit any kind of injury or illness or any weakness with a team that's already down in the mouth. So I think he's trying to stay positive, and I hate when this happens, when things start going wrong, guys try to play hero, and they end up getting even more hurt than they would have been if they had just been honest. So I guess we're going to find out.
Oh, we most certainly will. Thank you for this, Dirk. We'll do it again soon.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
Dirk Ahuristar, Jays analyst, and this Baseball Insider was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville. I'm glad he brought that up because we had been focused more on Edwin and his return and then Martin going to the DL. But
right.
Last time Stroman was out, he came out of the game. He had to pull himself from the game and said, general arm tightness, but I'm all good. Doctors, stay away. I'm fine. I'll be good for this start come Monday night. Tell you what, if he
that's
gets out there.
That's something new in sports now where the player just says, I'm all good. Don't talk to me. I'm not getting an MRI.
Yeah, well, the team better smarten up.
Like, I can't even imagine while I was playing hockey if Jim Rutherford called me at home and said, we have an MRI set up for you, and what I said back was, no, I'm all good. He would go nuts.
Yeah. Well, he should.
But
yeah.
The pressure's on Stroman, I think, too. Like, if Stroman.
Yeah, no kidding. If he leaves this game early because of more whatever.
And he's on the DL or something, it's. I'm not going to say it's all on him because the Jays should have stepped in.
You want to talk about being under fire. He will be under fire.
Big time. You can't do that. You can't allow yourself to be put in that position. As a pro athlete, you can't allow ego and bravado and toughness and bravery. Right.
The question he can't be asked is, if you look back, would you rather have got an MRI? Like, if he's asked that question, he should be getting destroyed.
Right.
Yep, I agree.
Well, we'll see where it goes tonight. We'll come back, tee up game 6. Is this a must-win for both teams?
I think so.
You think so?
Series decider.
All right, we'll elaborate on that. We'll get to the 3 stars as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Couching to 10K was
a success
for the most part. I mean, we missed Noodles out there, but
yeah.
A lot of people tweeting in, texting in, saying you guys should do a half marathon next time.
No, that's a bit aggressive.
Half marathon is 25K?
About that, yeah.
1.6. 13 miles, 1.6, whatever that is.
Not a chance in hell.
No, it's too much. It's too much.
I'm not doing it.
No, but what's the use?
I will sign up again for this one.
You'll do the 10K again?
Like absolutely.
Like Sam Mitchell said, write the check.
Well, I did Tough Mudder 4 or 5 years ago, and that was so much more difficult and grueling. And I was 30, 40 pounds heavier, too. There was, I should have been flagged. Like, at the starting line, some medic should have come over to me and said, dude, are you insane?
Yeah, don't do this.
Either sign this waiver or get the hell out of here. But that took me like 3.5 hours to do Tough Mudder.
You would have been.
You would not have. You've never seen a more miserable person in your life, Noodles. Halfway through that thing, man, because you're supposed to do all these obstacles, right? Yeah. I'm just walking around the obstacle. I didn't even do half of them.
Really?
Because I just said, forget it. I'm going to die up here.
So you, I mean, at least you didn't quit.
I got through it. I did it.
And the guy in jean shorts.
That guy dusted me. He did it in like 2 hours.
It was so gritty.
How long did it take you?
Like 3.5 hours.
Dude, no way would I ever do something like that.
Do you know how tough Tough Mudder was?
That's why it's
called
Tough Mudder.
How long of a course is it?
I think it's 10K. I want to say it's 10K, but that includes up and down the mountain 3 times. I had to climb up a mountain.
And you have like obstacles and stuff, right?
And obstacles. It was at Mount St. Louis Moonstone. So up and down the mountain 3 times, obstacles.
Like climbing?
Climbing. It was in the middle of summer. It was 30 degrees out.
That's terrible.
You wouldn't believe how difficult this thing was.
I wouldn't have done it.
Like, you thought yesterday was tough? Times that by 40.
It's terrible.
I'm never doing that again.
That's a hard no-guy.
Yeah, that's a no-guy.
No-guy.
So you think Pens have to win tonight, huh? I kind of think the Caps win game 7 if it gets there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a must-win for Pittsburgh. I think if Washington gets them back into their building, I think all bets are off. That's what Pittsburgh's got to wrap tonight.
I'm not sure they will, to be honest. I think Washington's played pretty well for
they
the most
have.
Part.
That's what I was telling you guys. Like, they've outchanced them. They've. But doesn't matter. Pittsburgh's up 3-2. Marc-Andre Fleury's been great. Now, they got to him in the third period last game.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can get to him again. But Holtby's got to be good.
I think that's my player of the game tonight. Holtby has not stolen a game yet.
You're right.
Like, he might need a 45-stop, unbelievable Vezina-type game
tonight.
But think
of what he went up against Frederik Andersen. That last game in Game 6, Frederik Andersen was putting a show on. Holtby was really good that night, too, but nobody really talked about it because Anderson was all world that night.
Freddie was better, yeah. And I would say the Flower's been better in this round.
He has been.
For sure.
But a lot of that is Washington has had more shots, more chances, and Holtby's sitting there at the other end, and then all of a sudden the chances, oh, okay, it's Hagelin right in the slot alone.
I do wonder if 87 kind of, he didn't do much the other night. If he kind of got his feet wet game five and now he puts on a clinic tonight back home.
That'll be interesting to see too.
He usually does.
It'll be a fun game. Edwin returning. Again, the big news today, Russell Martin though on the DL. And it sounds like this may not be one of those standard 10-day stints. Like it could be a Donaldson to a Lewicki scene where he's out for a while.
That's not good.
It's not good. I mean, they're in big trouble. They're incredibly depleted. And they're 11-20 to begin with.
Yeah.
If you're 20-11, you might be able to survive. 11-20, you got to start really winning a lot of games here and picking up series.
Agreed.
And I'm not sure it's going to happen with this kind of a lineup. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Over the number, Nationals, Orioles tonight. DeGrom is on the mound for the Mets, but there's something weird going on with that team. They've been brutal. Now, Matt Harvey suspended for a few games.
What was he, golfing or something?
He went golfing.
He had a headache, right?
And then he claimed he had a headache, and he didn't show up for the game. And then he claims there was a communication issue. And then he showed up the next day to start, and they're like, no, you're done. Leave, please. Now he might file a grievance and try to get his money back.
Yeah,
it's a gong
weird.
Show. Now, the Giants have been as disappointing to the National League as the Blue Jays have been to the American League, but I'm on the Giants tonight, and I'm on the Cubbies in Colorado. Throw down 20, and you can score 115. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. You guys ready for the three stars?
Yep.
Overdrive, three stars of the day.
First star is Eddie Olchuk.
He was. I'm going to give a first star, too. It was 4 years ago my dad passed away today. So
Mr. McLennan.
Give him a little shout-out.
Yes, the McLennan clan and Mr. McLennan. Definitely a shout-out.
Love. Miss him.
It was a year ago, I believe, today, Bartolo Colon hit his home run.
Really?
So our main man, Big Bart, deserves a shout-out.
Yes, he does.
John Daly, and let's be honest, the three of us who got down there for the 10K yesterday, support of Sick Kids, we're big fans.
Agreed.
Eddie Olchuk's second star, Mr. McLennan, one.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
Us idiots, three.
Yeah.
We're
third stars.
Good show today.
At best. Yeah, I thought it was okay. We came out of the gate pretty strong. It was a lot like our 10K. I thought the final hour, we started to slide a little bit.
Walked it in a little bit.
I cashed in.
You didn't say much. Noodles, you were pretty.
I grinded
pretty in there, but I was stumbling.
Tomorrow,
over
I want to tell
words.
You. I'll tell you both horses that we did own.
Okay,
we'll bring it in.
Look forward to that update. Enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy your evenings.
We'll chat then.